This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron. I am Brian Kilby, recording from a secret bunker near Washington, D.C. Yes.
Well, it's not really that secret anymore now, is
and
it?
And it's not really that close to Washington, D.C. either. It's closer than my house. I'm in a hotel.
Closer to my house?
Yeah, I'm in a hotel right now, so hopefully this... The last time I was in this hotel using this equipment, I don't think it's the same room, but it's identical. It was the episode where I sounded like Mickey Mouse. And I had to go in and alter the audio. It was because of the sample rate was off on the recorder. And it happened again today, but I fixed it. So, yeah, that was not fun.
Technology is an interesting thing.
It is. But there's a lot of stuff. Go ahead.
The rest of us enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah. It's the cold start. I left it in for that. But, yeah. Hey, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're running a day late because of New York Comic Con, so let's go ahead and get things started. We'll do what we got this week real quick, and I don't really have anything, and I don't have it with me because I'm not at home. So let's go to Chris.
Oh, I got Impactor and Mirage from Amazon. So Impactor I actually like quite a bit. So the transformation, like the whole upper body turns into the tank turret. So there's not like a regular waist joint. The swivel's kind of in the middle of the torso. It's not a big deal, and it lets it so the tank actually can swivel the turret 360 freely, and the rifle becomes the main gun, and that can elevate and lower. So like there's full movement in the tank turret. So like a lot of the engineering is just in the upper body of the toy, but the lower legs, they kind of do. Do you remember like Animated or even Revenge of the Fallen Lockdown, how the legs kind of unfold and then run the whole length of the vehicle mode. This does something kind of like that, but I'd say like on a simpler order of operations. So like everything on the toy is doing something kind of interesting, and the result is you get a pretty big, chunky looking robot, and you get a pretty big vehicle out of it too. So like at the deluxe price point, this feels really good. It's like Ironhide again, except without the wacky loose panels on the legs that you have to, you know, drill holes out bigger so it fits. Mostly, like, there's not a lot I would change about Impactor. The shoulder cannon is attached on a hinge, so you can't...
That's weird.
Like, you can remove it. It's not pinned. It's just a friction hinge, but, like, it's not designed to be taken off. So it doesn't exactly get in the way, but I would have liked it to be a little bit more flexible or modular. Like, a 5mm peg connection for that, I think, would have been ideal, because you could move it around and swap it with other stuff. But that's also just a lot of me liking being able to plug in random accessories all over things. So, like, imagine taking a piece from a weaponizer and sticking it up here instead of the default cannon. You know, take one of Six Gun's legs and just plop it up there and have a giant shoulder gun. That'd be fun.
Well, he does have a five millimeter point on top of that, so you could still, you know, put...
Okay, but, like, think about this for a second. Like, you have the shoulder cannon, and then you take Six Gun's leg and plug it up on top there. That's just going to be ridiculous then. What are you thinking, Matt?
Oh, yeah, heaven forbid. I'm so sorry.
I'm sure that violates some kind of weaponizer rule of combat or something.
Or laws of physics or something. I don't know.
Code of conduct.
Yeah. I'm actually really happy with this. I've got the FanVote 3-pack on pre-order. I've seen side-by-side pictures of the retail Impactor in that one. And there's more deco differences between them than just the like hazard stripes being added. So IDW head aside, I'm probably going to be a little bit happier with that one, because like there's more color detail in some places. It looks like a little bit more filled out deco than this, but like the regular retail one, if for whatever reason like you don't like the IDW head style or you don't want the Decepticon symbol on the chest, like this one looks and feels fine in hand just as it is. So the harpoon, the hook hand, like that's just a 5mm thing, and then the hand can flip out. So if you want a two-handed Impactor, you can totally do that, or you can put the accessory on the other side.
I totally didn't do that.
Have prosthetics on both arms if you want.
Ooh.
Yeah. And actually, if you get some Combiner Wars or Power of the Primes Combiner hands, you could totally plug those in and give him giant, you know, giant punchy hands.
Ooh. Like you could for Rook.
Yeah, that's actually, so not Rook, but Wandering Roller from the Unite Warriors Galvatron set. I actually have the Combiner hand from that plugged on there that way. That was one of my favorite little play features. I remember handling the BotCon 2016 Tarantulas, which was a retool of Rook, and those 5mm pegs on the end of the arms were so loose that you couldn't do that, and it made me very sad. And but fortunately, I don't own one. So
and the, the subscription service also made an Impactor out of that mold.
Yeah, that's true. How'd the hands fit in that one?
I don't think I ever tried the Hulk hands with it. He just went straight on a Combiner and remains there to this day.
That's just, that should be criminal, not trying Hulk hands on a toy that's designed to have Hulk hands. Well, I have
like five of that mold.
Why didn't I buy that wave of...
That subscription set?
Yeah.
Lack of forethought. And do you have any idea how both expensive and hard to find those toys are now?
Yes, I do.
They're not hard to find. They're right over there.
Jason, perhaps you could drop Matt from the call for a couple hours.
Oh yeah, sure. I'll look at that. He's fading fast here.
Of course, the internet might do it for us anyway.
That's okay, always a possibility.
So Mirage looks pretty good in robot mode. The clear plastic shin panels are very clear and plastic, and I don't think they look good being transparent as they are. It's not like it's a translucent plastic. No, this is very, very transparent blue. You can see right through them. I don't appreciate it. Actually, stupidly, my favorite part is probably the shoulder cannon, because, like, you know, it's a complete unit. The missile end comes out. And it's just like really nicely detailed, and it's cast in gray plastic and painted matte black. So like the details really pop on it. It looks really good. And like the robot poses okay. Nothing is really a problem as far as that goes. It all holds together pretty well. Even the lower legs don't like come apart or anything, even though the tabbing of all the various parts is dubious at best. The friction holds it together well enough. So, you know, you might find some individual variation there where that's not the case, but so far that hasn't been a problem for me. What I don't like is how this transforms, and a lot of that is to do with those clear plastic parts, because when you're either putting the race car together or taking it back apart, there's a lot of pressure being put on those clear plastic parts, including tabs on those clear plastic parts. Mm. And you know how I feel about putting stress and pressure on clear plastic elements, especially large clear plastic elements, because the bigger and more unbroken that is, the more likely it is to become broken.
Well, Chris, cosmetic aesthetics aside on matching up, which Mirage do you think is better on a shelf? Maybe Classics Mirage or this one?
I mean, I always have an affection for the Classics Mirage mold because, like, for its time, it was really remarkable how it was designed and engineered. It was unusually poseable for the point in time when it was made. That said, though, like, I don't feel the need to have more than one of those. I'm keeping Fracture Crasher from the Walmart 2007 movie exclusive assortment. Like, for something that looks like Mirage looked in the cartoon, this is what you would more want to go for. If you want something that's more, you know, imaginative, reinventive, something that's, you know, not quite the same thing, you know, like the opposite of everything Generations is at this point, you know, then you might want to stick with the Classics Mirage. Classics Mirage is a little bit taller than this, although this is beefier. Classics Mirage was always kind of a small toy. If I remember right, that shipped in a wave with Grimlock, who was a pretty big deluxe for the time, so that's probably why Mirage was small like it was.
And we'll probably get that Mirage repainted in red as a selects as well.
I would, with the toy head that's on the clear one, the 3-pack, I would love that.
I would be all about that. Please avoid the clear plastic, though.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think with the clear plastic is that they wanted the driver compartment to seem to have a clear canopy. But in that case, like, maybe it was a paint budget thing, but they should have painted at least the rest of that clear plastic around that part. Otherwise, I would have just preferred the whole thing being opaque. But then most of the time I want opaque plastic, if at all possible, instead of clear. There's a few cases I've had where clear plastic has looked really nice the way they've used it. But for the most part, it's a risk I don't want to take on a toy in the long term. I certainly wouldn't be like, you know, recommend someone to not buy this Mirage because of that. But, you know, exercise due caution. Don't, like, you know, get the FanVote 3-pack just for that clear Mirage, though, because, like, that's all clear plastic, and that's probably going to be a danger to itself and everyone around it. And anyway, you don't have to buy the 3-pack from it, because probably everybody's going to be trying to sell theirs off after they get their Impactor and Power Dasher out of it. Yeah. Yeah, that comes out on the 15th from Amazon, I think, that 3-pack. So right around the corner. I was actually wondering whether I was going to get that first or the regular one. Yeah, me too.
I'm getting that one Monday. I got Impactor last week or earlier this week.
I didn't get Barricade because, like, as it is, I'm going to end up with three of that mold already, and I don't even like that mold. I was supposed to have Blue Streak today, actually, but Walmart kind of dragged their heels and didn't even send it out until late this afternoon. So now I might have it Saturday.
Is it showing up in stores already?
None of the stuff has shown up in stores yet.
Okay.
So it's all from the orders. I've heard Blue Streak has come back in stock briefly a couple times in the last week or so. And some people have been able to catch it.
It's not right now.
So that and Sound Blaster are in the process of shipping from Walmart now, either, you know, shipping to home or shipping to store, depending what you chose. It seems like the Optimus and Megatron, a lot of those have been delayed until November.
Yeah, my Sound Blaster is at home waiting for me right now. I'll have it tomorrow.
You mean your new Sound Wave?
New Sound Wave, yes.
Yes. I also picked up the, the Off-Road Patrol MicroMasters from Warehouse Deals for, again, close to half off because the packaging was allegedly damaged, but, as you can see, this is in pretty good shape, and it arrived to me in better shape than, my full-price Impactor and Mirage did, so thanks, Amazon.
I love when I order something with a damaged package on, Warehouse Deals, and it comes pristine.
If you were a mint in box collector, I think the biggest argument you could have that the package is damaged is the Amazon warehouse stickers that they add to the packaging.
Sometimes it's a crapshoot, though. Like, I've gotten toys from Amazon warehouse stills with damaged packaging that were incredibly damaged.
I have two.
Yeah, like a bunch of reaction stuff. Ooh, wait, the reaction Transformers coming, too. I don't think that's in the show notes, but...
No, it's not. Well, I mean, we knew the first wave was coming because I think they had those at Toy Fair, but there's
a second wave.
Yeah, listings for a second wave.
I'm excited.
I kind of forgot those were even a thing. Anyway, that's all I got this week. So,
Matt, what'd you get?
Well, I also got this lovely orange and purple fellow today, Impactor. I haven't had time to mess with him a whole lot yet, but from what I have, I really, really like him. The paint coverage on his head seems a little bit thin, like there's some purple showing through there, but I mean, that's just
QC.
Well, yeah. And, I got as well, Masterpiece, anime Blue Streak.
Yeah.
They may want to consider not using this mold anymore. Just it's been around the block a few times and it's starting to show.
What have you noticed? I didn't notice anything in particular. It's just it's just aged.
He was a bobblehead out of the packaging.
Oh, I haven't. Mine's not like that.
It required 3 coats of floor polish.
Ooh.
Wow.
The knees don't want to stay like locked in full extended position, but I mean he's poseable enough. So gotta say, don't like him as much as the original one, but I have him now, so he'll go on the shelf.
I'm hoping that they fix all that for the Smokescreen Plus repaint, because that's the only plus I plan on double dipping on.
I'm hoping that Smokescreen one is the last time they use it.
What else would they do with it?
It's hard. Just start over. Just go back to having Blue Streak.
I'm sure there's Barricade now.
Yeah,
did they do a Masterpiece blue streak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they do. And there's always Shattered Glass or some other, maybe some more obscure Argentine if Argentine.
There's Blue Streak, there's Blue Streak, there's Smoke Screen,
Silver
Blue Streak. Yeah.
Blue Streak, Silver Blue Streak, Blue Streak, Cartoon Blue Streak, Prowl, Cartoon Prowl, Smoke Screen, Cartoon Smoke Screen.
Boy.
Yeah.
It's like a seeker.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it's wonderful. But also off eBay, I got this wonderful little fellow today, the Weaponizer Aragon, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the cog mold. You know, I love him, except he's red now. The head sculpt's really nice on him. My camera sucks.
Oh, that's the one from the three pack, right?
Yeah.
That's Char's cog. It's three times Weaponizer ear.
Which three pack?
The fan vote three pack with the IDW Impactor and
okay. So I couldn't remember what the third one was.
The Power Dasher.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot that was in there too.
Yeah.
Those are the Transformers things I got this week. I also picked up the Lightning Collection Psycho Red and Lost Galaxy Red back there. And
what the hell did you do?
How many Legends figures?
A couple of Marvel Legends. Do Build-A-Figures count?
Sure.
29-ish?
Oh my god.
Okay.
I have to know who. I'm sorry, I just have to know who.
I got the rest of the figures I needed for Sasquatch.
That's more than Unicron.
Which was, no, but these have been building up for quite some time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how many months of pile of loot is that?
I don't know, when's the last time I shipped a pile of loot? It's been a while. So, Cable, Domino, Paladin, the good one, not the superhero, Tom.
he's Lion Paladin. We all love you. We all think you're a great guy. Yeah.
The entire Caliban wave, the entire Wendigo wave, and a couple odds and ends. I got Loki and the classic packaging Wasp and Ant-Man to fill out my founding Avengers with the 80th anniversary stuff.
I saw that Spider-Man doppelganger. I really want it.
I don't have that.
I need to get it.
I stick mostly to my 90s X-Teams and Masters of Evil / Thunderbolts. Pick up a couple things here and there.
Cool. Anything else?
Did you get Death's Head 2?
Oh, I already have a Death's Head 2.
Did you get another one?
I need to get another one for Dawn.
Yeah.
I have two. I don't That's want not or need.
He really more. Doesn't, people. He really, really doesn't want another one.
Yeah. Because, guys, I'm really... No.
Don sent me... After last week's show, Don sent me a polite letter via SMS asking that we don't send him any more Death's Head 2s.
Don, there's I want you to sign other one stuff. And give it to me at TFCon.
There's plenty other stuff if you want to get Don something at tfradio.net/massyattack that he would like more.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the coffin is still in play.
I took it off.
Just let you know, thank you, because that made my girlfriend a little upset that the coffin was on there.
I thought she liked it.
Well, she thought it was funny, but then she realized, you know, that's not kind of funny. Yeah, it's funny for
a while.
Yeah. It's sort of, the joke sort of died.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Oh, Lord. Don's raising his hand.
Yeah, I got three things very light week for me. I took back... Power of the Spark, Jetfire, and Shockwave. Because I got them because I thought they looked cool. Then I watched some video reviews and saw they're not really that cool. So in its place, I got the new Warrior class Jetfire, which does a nice little
backwards. Exactly the same.
Yeah, but it does a nice little different transformation bit. Plus, the pop-out cannons are very classic Jetfire, which I think looks pretty good. I also got Drift, who is a lot less impressive than this, but it's still not a bad Drift. And the thing is, with the Walmart price drop from $14.92 to $11.92, two of those was not much more than one of the Power of the Spark figures. So I think I got slightly better figures.
You quote, take stuff back, do you actually take stuff back, or you're not one of those people that swap it out for something?
No, God, no.
You sure?
No,
that's not part of it. That's like dark Dononomics.
Yeah, I had the receipt and I took them back and I just got the refund because after watching the reviews, the figures really didn't end up being as nice as I thought they would be.
Brian, Don would never do that because I've seen people accidentally put in figures that are worth more when they do that.
Me too.
Don would never do that.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, but I got my Dino cassettes and my Frenzy. That's supposed to be different. So I got those. Now that should
flip those on eBay. That's good. Well, Dominonics right
there. With the snafu on these, I'm a little worried about opening them up now until we see what happens with that.
So, hey, Roland, what happened apparently?
According to the show notes, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'm skipping ahead.
I'm just going to let it speak for itself.
Okay. I can't tell what box? That is, Don.
That's, it's a box.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
See a Scarlet Spider.
Thank you, Matt.
See a Scarlet Spider.
Yeah.
Don forgets that. Don forgets silence doesn't speak for itself on a podcast.
It goes out on the internet. It's the Hot Toy Sideshow Scarlet Spider.
They made
figure,
a Hot Toy Scarlet Spider?
Yes, it was a.
They must have been out of literally every other possibility.
It was a 500 limited edition series, and it sold out in about less than a week. I think five days.
They only did 500 because they thought that's all.
Yeah, probably so. I guess early next year will be what, Hot Toys Night Thrasher?
Ooh, yeah, daunted by that.
I mean, I love Scarlet Spider and all, but Hot Toys?
This is my first. And probably only Hot Toys figure, unless they do like Jack of Hearts or something like that.
Big Eye and Rusty.
What if they do a Hot Toys Headmaster RC?
It doesn't work like that.
Hot Toys Deadhead 2.
Hot Toys do not work that way.
It does not work like that.
That would have to be 3A?
Yeah.
But he sold out. Big thanks to my friend Icon 45 for pointing it out to me in the first place. It's just I have so few Marvel characters that actually get action figures, and none have ever gotten. Well, none of the figures I love enough to spend that much money on
Spider
a Hot Toys figure.
Spider Girl. I would be tempted.
Yeah. So there's that. So I'm really happy that I got. I may do an unboxing video for him after TFCon when Brian can get me some supplies so I don't make an absolute mess of it. I may do my first unboxing video. I don't know.
Yeah, Don, next time I'm up this way, how about I come by your apartment and we'll set you up?
And that's it.
Anybody else?
Not me.
Cool. I got Psycho Blue Ranger, and Matt made me go back and get Psycho Red Ranger with Charlie Brown Red Ranger. But
made
that was it.
Him. Made him.
That's not that hard to get Diecast to spend money, let's be honest.
And I had a $10 GameStop gift card from...
Oh, yeah, see, that helps.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
hey, speaking of Diecast spending money, what Diecast, why don't you update us on Unicron?
Oh, I will be happy to update you on Unicron because we are doing absolutely awesome. We only have 3 days to go, but the number keeps going up. Right now we're at... 7,109. So we're less than 900 away from getting this thing funded. And like I said, we have 3 days, 3 hours, and 19 minutes. As of to the time of this recording, they did throw about 1,000 into the number a couple days ago, which were supposed to be the international backers orders and orders from other Hasbro partners.
Yeah, fan channels or whatever.
Fan channels.
And then that's another 400 over and above that are just organic, run-of-the-mill like sales. So
right. And it is on display at New York Comic Con right now. I forget the booth it's at.
Did you hug it?
Probably Hasbro's booth.
No, Hasbro doesn't have a booth. It's some pop culture booth or something.
Yeah, I forget what they mentioned where it was during the live stream presentation this morning.
And Diecast didn't even get to see it in person.
Oh, wow. I know. I didn't have a ticket to New York Comic Con. So
have to wait until early 2021.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a tragedy it would be if it doesn't get funded after all this.
Well, I mean, they'll probably have the prototypes on display at the next HasCon. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Well,
there could be a HasCon next year before.
I hope there's something.
Yeah. Something would be nice.
Yeah. I'm fond of something.
I'm a big fan of something. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump in the news, I guess.
Wait. You skipped one thing on the Unicron.
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah.
The bonus parts and redesigned hands, which I didn't even realize the hands weren't that articulate to begin with, but they added some more points of articulation.
9 points to 15 points per hand?
Yes.
That's pretty substantial jump. I mean, 9 points is pretty darn good, but 15 even better.
Well, perfect for pulling the money out of your wallet and then handing it to Hasbro.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we also got a additional slug of Hot Rod. And we also got a slug of the Autobot ship, which I was confused why they would have chosen that ship when it's not one of the two ships that were in the final scene with Unicron or, in the movie.
Or interacts with Unicron. I mean, the Decepticon ship at least is like generated by Unicron. So
yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the, yeah.
Yeah. And no so we did ask John Warden. John Warden's answer was they needed something that was on the same sprue as the soft points for Unicron. So they needed something orange, or in this photo, it looks yellow. And that is why they went with this. Plus, it was a more iconic ship, they felt.
Plus, also the last
Well, I mean, the Quintesson ship is just a corkscrew, and the Junkion ship was just a bunch of, you know, spires of metal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, the last time they did the Ark was in the Titanium series, and that,
and that was actually also the Autobot shuttle.
Yeah, and that tends to go for quite a bit of money. Last time I saw them online, so at least it's a representation of the Ark.
So but I believe Wharton actually said that they were considering doing the Quintesson drill ship, if not for the color consideration. Isn't that right, Diecast?
Yes. And but the thing that confused me about his answer is, isn't the Galvatron slug purple and the
Hot Rod
slug red? Mm-hmm, so, yeah.
But those don't necessarily need to be part of the same plastic tree.
Those could just be something different. They're tiny.
Or alternately, they could just be dipped in paint.
Exactly. Yeah. That was going to be my next suggestion. Like, those are so small and simple that, like, there's not a complex deco that would need to go on those. So even if the material's not super conducive to painting, which being a softer material, it wouldn't be. If they're small enough, that's not going to matter.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I did ask John Warden was the possibility for additionals once this gets funded. And he did say that there is a possibility of additional stuff once this gets funded.
Oh, more freebies. Freebies, quote unquote.
Oh, more feature reveals.
Yeah. Nice. And like also the stand, which does hold the ship, and it can hold Unicron's head if you want to take it off and just display the head.
Cool.
Yes, I like the suggested use case for that if you wanted to take that and have it at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say I can put that on my desk at work.
So I remember somebody, I was watching TFU.info's live stream. Somebody also had asked about whether Unicron would ever be like re-released after this again. Something to that effect.
Oh, yes. That was another question. And again, John Warden said 100% no. This will not be this mold will not be reused again. I'm pretty sure that's what he meant, because there's one point he said Unicron will not be made, you know, a Unicron will not be made if this doesn't get made. And I'm assuming he meant that this mold will never get made, right, and it will never be remade again.
No Energon colors.
We're not gonna get a black.
I'm sad now.
We're not gonna get a black and green one. We're not going to get an Amazon exclusive, accurate one.
That sort of does put a hole in my, you know, certain people carrying a certain version of the figure.
You can carry it wherever you want to. To be fair, Don, that theory was more of a hole than a theory to begin with.
Well, I like it, so it was right.
You were trying to put a theory into a hole rather than, you know, a hole being put into a theory.
A square theory and a round hole.
And it almost fit, except for the Battle League kids.
Okay. Anything else,
Diecast? The other thing I got to say is I can't keep refreshing the Hasbro Pulse page, because it actually does fluctuate up and down.
Yeah.
Like, now we're down to 7,108, which means we lost at least one. So it is going up and down, which is really frustrating to watch. So I have to close that tab.
Step away from the internet, Diecast. Step away.
Diecast, people are trying to buy stuff off that site, and you just keep causing their site to lag. So just chill.
See, now we know why nobody could get the exclusives the last time. Because Diecast was just sitting there refreshing so feverishly. He was jamming the whole site up. That's why nobody could get their SDCC Power Rangers and whatnot.
I think so much the hotshot didn't even make it on the site.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Nothing, and to quote Paladin, and nothing of value was lost.
Okay.
I mean, I like the mold. I like the deco. That's enough. I want to buy the toy. I don't care anything else.
I like the mold. I wish it would have been Iron Fist instead.
Okay, oh, that wasn't so acceptable. Cool.
Okay, Diecast, anything else?
No, that is all we have for Unicron. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk one more time about Unicron.
Oh, I hope not.
Postmortem next week.
God.
On the next show.
I'm ready to not talk about Unicron for a while, no matter what happens.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw it out there. Hopefully, Brian and I can do like one of those daily updates.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. Okay.
I like the look of terror on Brian's face.
What are we talking about?
Very relatable.
Yes. So, okay.
If you too would like to see Brian Kilby's looks of terror in real time, tfradio.net/live, usually every Wednesday night.
Yep. So today was the Hasbro event at New York Comic Con. There was a live stream. A lot of stuff was shown off between the two. There was some news too, things we learned that we didn't know. And additionally, it wasn't Screen Rant. IGN got a first look at Transformers Earthrise earlier this week.
That sure is a name.
Yeah, it's
you know what? I like these toys so much, I'm not even going to complain about the name.
Well, you know, if you're standing on the moon,
I'm gonna let it go.
At some point, you would see an Earthrise. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like that's a thing they made up. But
yeah, I mean, no. I like the name. At least it's not like Super Earthrise, or
you wouldn't see an Earthrise
on the moon.
The moon is tidally locked with the Earth. You wouldn't see an Earthrise from the moon. You'd have to be walking.
If you walk across the Terminator.
Yeah,
keep wanting to say Earthrises, but I guess
So what we saw was Leader Class Optimus Prime, $50. Grapple, not Grapple, not Solar Storm, Grapple, $30. Voyager Class, Big Daddy, and Lugnut. No, it wasn't not Lugnut.
Trip Up
from the Hot Rod Patrol. And Big Daddy is now Daddy-O. Ironworks, the MicroMaster base, is now like that's kind of like a weaponizer. Yeah, deluxe weaponizer base thing, but it's
I love
awesome.
It. Modulator,
I believe.
Yeah, that
modulator.
Yeah, that.
John Warden did say there will be more of those. He couldn't say what. But I mean, they're going hard at that base play pattern because they have the little
countdown rocket base would be pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I talked to him. John Warden said that's his favorite. One, the countdown. But the problem with that is it would need to be a lot bigger.
Commander class, perhaps.
Yeah. That would actually work very well.
If you guys remember, go back and listen to the episode that I wasn't on last year when Siege was unveiled and like everybody crapped on Siege.
Guilty.
Basically, the exact opposite reaction is what we're getting out of Earthrise. It is.
You know why? Because there's no battle damage.
Yeah,
that's a lot of it.
Earthrise is G1
2.0. It's G1 as can be. It's
G1 as can be. That Seeker Starscream mold is so nice, and it's actually a really nice size jet. Like, the pictures do not do it justice. In person, it is amazing. Like, I am so excited about that toy now that I saw it in person. When I just saw the photos, I was like, another Starscream mold. And now I saw the jet in person and I'm stoked. No, like, I want that.
Yeah, that Starscream is like everything I've wanted. It's just the classic Seeker mold tweaked a little bit with, you know, the engineering is improved, the more points of articulation, bigger. Like, that's exactly what I wanted.
Was it John Warden or Ben Montano that said that it was maybe better than the Masterpiece toy? It would not be hard because the Masterpiece toy sucks.
No. Yeah.
Oh, it would not. True. Yeah. That needs to be redone, that mold.
Oh, it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so not in line with anything Masterpiece does now. It has to be on the short list.
Yeah. Yeah, Starscream looks great. We also saw Lord Zarak or Jezarak. Of course, which means we are getting a double headmaster Scorponok. So it's pretty actually. So it's a double headmaster. So who's Zerak's head?
That is the question.
Well, now he did. Scorponok's toy came with that little tank.
Fast track.
So that's what I'm thinking.
It could be, or it could just be a transector. Oh no, Zerak could just be the transector, and Zerak could be the actual head. Who knows?
Somebody on Twitter
name those though.
Somebody on Twitter suggested that the Titan Master be Zerak and the Deluxe be Mega Zerak, and then the whole thing be Scorponok.
I like that, actually.
Yes, please. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm excited. It'll be a, Titan-class Scorponok to go along with our other Titan-class figures. So,
there's other size classes I might have wanted to Scorponok in first, but this does look kind of nice.
It doesn't really leave a whole lot for Titan class in the future if we still get it
forward. Yeah,
we'll have to start doing like more combiners or miscellaneous things or something, or just redoing them. So other things popped up today. So what else did we see? Wheeljack, Hoist, and Hoist does go Hollywood.
Hoist looks fantastic.
He does.
Yeah, like so good. And his toe hitch is one of the connector pieces, one of the connector ramps.
Oh really? I didn't notice that.
And we finally got a Cliff Jumper that actually looks like Cliff Jumper.
Let's see here. I saw it. The robot mode does look like Cliff Jumper, and the vehicle mode looks like
Moon Charger.
Yeah, vehicle mode's off, but
so Hoist does have some battle damage on him.
Does he?
The very front, but as someone who is on the record hating the battle damage, it's barely noticeable on him. I'm considering how far they seem to have stepped it back. I'm not going to get upset over that because I'm looking at Wheeljack right now. He looks clean, so.
Like Hoist seems to be the only one with any trace of it on him.
Yeah.
But that makes sense to the character.
Did the display piece they have the battle damage, or is that just like a holdover on the render?
I'm going to have to look at my picture right now because I'm not 100% sure.
Sure, I can find one too.
I mean, I think we were also taken with how, like, on a large scale, there's not any battle damage. We stopped even looking for any.
That picture doesn't really.
I think I can see it a little bit.
You know,
it's on his hood.
Grapple's good.
I'm looking at Cliff Jumper now. I'm looking at Cliff Jumper. Yes, it does look like Wind Charger, but that doesn't keep me from being in love with it. It is like 80s as can be.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's a good car.
I do, yeah. and it has little skis for it.
He has little skis. Oh, he does.
Excellent.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I said this on Twitter. Ask he what they did there.
Oh, God, Don.
Yeah, I'm really liking everything they're doing here.
Yeah, it all looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one thing I can think of that I didn't like when I saw it. And that is, no, that's Optimus Prime's gray hands.
Oh,
yeah.
Wheeljack.
Mm-hmm. And gray inner legs, too.
Was that a mistake? Yeah. I think that just maybe because it's the prototype. Because the other part that was gray was the piece in the trailer.
The repair drone.
That was actually gray, too.
Yeah, Anthony talked to John Warden about that, and he said this was a change, basically. This is what the final was going to look like.
Yeah, I can't help but feeling, though, that Wheeljack is unnecessary.
But it looks so nice.
It does.
Yeah, it
really does.
Yeah, I'm allowing it on that based alone.
And I mean, like, so we got Wheeljack in Combiner Wars, which was a shampoo bottle.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
But before that was Generation 2010.
Yeah, Reveal the Shield. It was great, but that was a great toy.
But that was also a decade ago.
Yeah. We needed a Wheeljack.
Well, Brian, there's if we have time, I wanted to give him a thought, a quick maybe like
Don, give your thought.
Okay, thanks. this is just what I was thinking. They knew this Earthrise was going to be the next thing a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Did they?
I'm just saying
they knew the toys.
I'm just saying they probably had Siege mostly planned out.
They were at a point
where they could start looking at what was going to be its replacement. And they knew they were going G1 hardcore.
That's even all more they know they, to do.
Well, I know. But I'm saying is that the fact that if they had known we were getting Earthrise as the sequel series and they had that planned out on what to do, we could have gotten a few more Cybertronian, or at least not Earth modes with phalanges and bits and pieces on it, in Siege. And it just, I'm very disappointed in that fact, because we could have got Wheeljack as a box on wheels. We could have gotten a Cybertronian mode. Since
so that's, yeah. That's not exactly how it works.
Well, I'm just saying, these are my general thoughts, that we could have gotten a Cybertron mode Jazz, to, you know, that was in the show. You had a rough idea of how they looked, and we could have gotten a little more pre-Earth modes. Now we're getting back to, as y'all guys said, G1, but done better, which I understand. It's just disappointing that we didn't get towards the end, we got Impactor and some other stuff like that. But yes, Massey, I love you. But I do have some hope and some trepidation that whatever comes after Earthrise, they're going to be doing a
1986,
post-movie.
Pretty much, that's what I think.
Well, they're going to go in the basic general direction of post-movie season 3.
No.
Where we get, you know, a few more odd futuristic things. We get a new cup. You know, stuff that would fit into the more of the season 3 aesthetic. But I'm worried that it's going to be the reverse of Siege. It's going to be futuristic stuff that still looks like G1 stuff, because G1 is what this design team knows. So that's just my random thoughts, is we could have gotten a few more Cybertronian modes of toys, characters that already existed, and we didn't. We've gone back to Earth, and we're getting G1 2.0. So what's the next thing going to be? Are they going to actually go in a Season 3 or a G2 route? Give us something unique. Give us something flashy.
Give me something unique. Give me something you gave me 30 years ago.
Well, maybe that's true, Brian. That's very, very true. You got a good point. But it's something that we really haven't had a lot of in those past 30 years.
We've had quite a bit of season 3 stuff.
Haven't had a lot of Cybertronians in the last
30 years. I was thinking using the G2 in with the season 3 motif, sort of wrap all that together in the future 2005 kind of theme. What they were shooting for in the post movie years.
I'm just, Siege to me, now that I've seen Earthrise, was not that great. I mean, that's just how I'm thinking in my head now.
You don't have the toys in your hand yet.
This is great. I love this. I'm going to enjoy this for as long as this is out, you know, year and a half, whatever the life cycle is on this one.
5 weeks.
And I have good high hopes about the next one.
Yeah, I can count on one hand how many Siege toys I've bought. Like, I completely abandoned the line, but I'm already planning on getting half of these that they showed.
Okay, today, so. I bought more Siege stuff than I, you know, originally planned, but it's not a lot. It's all very tightly, you know, condensed in one little spot. It's not like, you know, behind me where I have shelves and shelves. No, it's a very small collection of Siege stuff. Earthrise looks much more promising to me at this point. Like, I want to get these toys in hand and see if they feel as good as they look.
I'm kind of with Don. I guess I'd kind of like to have something different. I mean,
yeah, I get that.
I didn't crap on Siege like everybody else did. And I've actually liked Siege quite a bit. We've all liked Siege for the most part. But
well, I wouldn't say for the most part.
Well,
the thing, I've been pretty fond of everything I've gotten from Siege. I am nowhere near trying to do completism on this because I can't. But the thing, it's weird. They just went so hard 84 on Siege that it was disappointing. But somehow this is less disappointing, even though it's even harder 84. I can't. Maybe my brain is broken because of enough Siege. I don't know. But just, I think part of it is that I just kind of like, I really like the base gimmick. I like the possibilities of that, and I like the fact that it ties back into all this Power of the Prime stuff I have from a couple of years ago. That just is really, and Titans Return stuff, that the fact that all those bases are actually compatible with this, I really appreciate that. I had a cogent thought somewhere in here, and I lost it. But
I like that Grapple and Hoist are in there, because we haven't gotten them in many, many years. So.
Yeah.
At least it's not, you know, Bumblebee again.
No, it's just Optimus Prime and Starscream again. And the Bumblebee, you know, is coming, looking at
Cliff Jumper. Well, yeah, because we have
Cliff Jumper. I mean, Starscream is just there because I think anytime there's a Seeker mold, it's obligatory. It has to be Starscream at least once. But, like, that's not why that mold exists.
Yeah.
Starscream's kind of the new Bumblebee at this rate, because you get one in every line now.
He's the Decepticon Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I'm just going to apologize for if I didn't mean. I'm not poo-pooing on Earthrise by no means. It just seems like we could have gotten of some more Cybertron modes in Siege since we're going so G1 and Earthrise. I just really wanted a little jack on wheel box on wheels.
So did I, Don, and I agree because as I recall, one of my early complaints about Siege, which kind of carried through to the end, is that a lot of these, you know, allegedly Cybertronian vehicle modes looked like slightly fancy Earth vehicle modes. So, you know, for like some reason, yeah,
Hound is amazing.
It's a great toy.
Also looks like it rolled out of Halo.
Yeah. It's a great toy, but it does not look Cybertronian. I agree.
Yeah,
I have Mega Constructs Halo Jeep and it looks like
I'm actually feeling pretty positive about Earthrise here. I like what I'm seeing. Maybe it's just the fact that they dropped the pretense and are doing exactly what they wanted to do in the first place, finally, and it shows through.
Yeah, there you go.
But I would have liked more, you know, I wanted the beginning of Siege was more Sunbow Cybertronian, and we were not going to get that no matter what.
Speaking of that, even though it's not 1984, but it would have been nice to get in Siege some characters that we only saw in Cybertronian modes, like Dion or
DevCon.
Yeah, so
that's my big hope for whatever's after Earthrise is that we get an actual the Gambler model DevCon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Really cool.
Not impossible.
Yeah. Okay. What else did we see today? We saw that. We have some information coming out of Cyberverse. Some nice looking stuff.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Cyberverse is getting actual deluxes, not just Warrior class, but deluxe figures. We know that there's at least two waves planned because one of the things shown there is a figure of McAdam, and he is going to be a Build-A-Figure split across eight different figures.
They're
finally doing a Transformers Build-A-Figure.
Yeah, they've done it before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, second time.
The second one.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. Transmutate.
Transmutate.
We've been saying it for a while.
It's just been about 20 years.
Yeah.
Right.
13. Or 12. Yeah.
12, I think.
It's been 3 years.
Were there any Build-A-Figures in the Heroes?
14 years.
Yeah. Were there any Build-A-Figures in the Heroes of Cybertron / SCF line? I want to say there were.
Okay, so the Japanese releases, that's when you get like Fortress Maximus or Metroplex released across a wave.
Gotcha. Yeah, because when I was writing that story, I wanted to call it the second ever Transformers Build-A-Figure, but I had that in the back of my head, so I couldn't say it for sure, so I skipped it.
I mean, in a functional sense, it is the second ever Transformers Build-A-Figure, because I don't think you'd really call what the PVCs produced figures as such.
Yeah.
And remember that every line could be a test for the main line. So maybe we could get a Build-A-Figure Quintessant figure or Build-A-Figure, you know, any of those movie characters that didn't transform.
Yeah, maybe we'll get your Unicron that way eventually.
Yeah, I mean, across like, five or six toy lines.
Yeah,
I was thinking across like 30 waves and 200 separate figures. Yeah. Leader class Bumblebee.
One of those will be a hard to get exclusive.
Yeah.
Red card, you can't finish your Build-A-Figure.
Mm-hmm. Leader like, class Bumblebee, which is just a scout-sized Bumblebee with like Unicron's torso.
And also three new Metroplexes, each one with a different part, but it's the same basic toy in different markets.
It would be even worse if they're like maybe blind bagged and chase versions. So you'd have like, you know, I'd have Unicron.
That's how the Super Collection figures work, the PVCs.
Yeah, have like a gold foot for Unicron, and the rest of the Unicron would be, that would be horrible.
That would be fantastic.
Rob's all about the chaos. He's all for it.
I mean, you know, in this life, what else is there?
Yeah.
Now you're talking about Unicron. Now you're making me go back on Hasbro's Pulse. Hasbro's pulse and check the.
Okay, nobody try to pre-order for a few minutes.
7,116.
Nice. So we're up about
six or seven. Hot shots up. Okay. Oh, hot shots up. Ooh.
Check out securely.
Where's my credit card? Yeah, Rob took a cue from other people and was trying to sew a little Discord.
Thanks to Dalton and Jason Smith on Twitter, who both separately added me about Hotshot being up.
Yeah.
I was literally just on the site, too, and didn't see it because I was pre-ordering a couple things.
Now I have two in my cart.
So the first tweet at me was 4 minutes ago and then another one a minute ago. So it just came up.
Yeah, you have to constantly refresh that site, dude.
I mean, I was until we started the show.
Yeah, me too.
I was refreshing, but I was on the Unicron page. So
and slowly. That's what the Shalom Rod tried to get up.
Okay, so I guess.
Yeah, so this isn't as bad as the SCCC show, but we are having our order stuff intermission right now. So please bear with us.
Today was the night of 1,000 pre-orders part two, though. Yeah, I spent $200 in pre-orders a while ago.
Are we done with news for the most part? Because I've got other stuff to talk about.
I don't think there's a lot. There's not really much more I think we can go over in the NYCC stuff.
Okay, so a couple things I just want to mention while you guys order. Here in 2 weeks, on the 15th of October, we'll have our 20th anniversary episode. Not going to do anything really special. We're not going to, have a song and dance number or anything like that. But it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool that we're hitting our 20th anniversary. Lots of people have sent in favorite moments or how they've listened. If you have any thoughts, anything you want to share, hit us up, contact at tfradio.net, or just click on the Contact Us link on our website, again, tfradio.net, or DM us on Twitter at tfradio. Not saying I'll get every single one on, but I'll do my best. So if you want to, you can hit us up that way. One more thing to mention, we don't have a Patreon, but a podcast I was listening to just hit their anniversary and they did this. And I thought that sounds kind of cool. So I actually sent them something to sort of help out. Again, we don't do a Patreon, but if you want to help us out with buying some equipment to upgrade, there's always need to, things wear out and things like that. Created a nice little easy to remember link to our, to the Amazon wish list that I maintain where I buy stuff. It's tfradio.net/podwish if you want to help out. But of course, you can always help us out by using our Amazon link at tfradio.net/Amazon. It's super easy. Just, click that, buy something, and it helps cover the cost of the show. And it's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's really not cheap. It's a little more costly than you might think. You could, it's like, can't you do it, host it for free? I guess I could if I wanted to do it badly, but all the stuff we do, it's expensive. tfradio.net/Amazon. Really help out. All of the the Earthrise stuff is up there. If you want to, look for that, go to tfradio.net/Amazon and just look for that. I did create a link, just right now for, Earthrise Optimus. That's pretty easy. Just go to, go ahead.
What you could do if you want to, offer the whole range, make a public wish list.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, so then you can just link to that directly, and everybody can just pick what they want, and it'll still work.
Great idea. I love that.
Just make sure you go into settings and make sure that doesn't remove the stuff after it's been bought, because then only, up to 8 people or whatever, however many toys there are, that many people can benefit.
Yeah, I'll set that up. But right now, if you want to pre-order Optimus and then just look for everything else, go to tfradio.net/OptimusRise, one word, lowercase, Optimus Rise. It's kind of like Dark Awakening. Sort of.
No.
No, it's not.
I mean, he says rise Rodimus Prime in the movie, but.
No, I mean, he rose from the dead in Dark Awakening.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll get a Dark Awakening version.
I wish.
Maybe we'll get a Dark Awakening version of Optimus Prime in whatever the next toy line is.
That would be great. It really would be.
There you go.
It'll be a Selects redeco of Siege Optimus next year.
it'll be a Selects version redeco of the current status of the MP10 mold. And that's exactly what it'll be.
It'll fit then. It'll be a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Hey Brian, the only thing I was going to mention is that we didn't mention this in the segment, but the Plank Master That's the
sound barrier, yeah.
The sound barrier with him, and also Growl and Drop Shot, which is two of my favorite Micromasters from the Decepticon Battle Patrol.
Okay, but they're not Big Daddy, so who cares?
Yeah.
I like them more than Big Daddy.
Oh. Don.
That's grounds for termination.
So, I don't know. So, it was
I don't mean being fired. I mean a killer robot will come to your house shortly, so...
I have a mask.
So, Don famously, for years, asked for that Headmaster RC. It may have been in response, and it may not have been. It may have been genuine, but like me and it was mostly our pal Hooper X from who used to be on the show years ago. I at BotCon started asking for Big Daddy. And then in that 2007 Walmart exclusive set, we actually got one. And
such a good toy.
I know, such a great toy. And I was so excited about it. I never expected to get that again. We're getting a Big Daddy. It's so awesome.
Although he's not called Big Daddy anymore.
Daddy-O. I know.
Yeah. That is a perfectly acceptable name.
I want Daddy-O to be the to be in charge of the Micromaster, like the whole combined bases and cities and what have you. And officially he would be the mayor of Coolsville, which would be the name of the Micromaster settlement.
Basically
he's like Micromaster Ultra Magnus. He's like the commander of all the micro bases and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, also real quick while we're talking about all the stuff that showed up, Diecast, thank you so much for all your hard work today at the Hasbro event. Great job. I love the photos from your new iPhone 11 Pro.
Thank you.
Yeah, they look great. So you would say that that was a worthy upgrade when it came to convention coverage.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I want to get a Note 10 or something before TFCon. Probably not. Okay. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
That's a good question.
There's a lot of stuff from the Hasbro event at New York Comic Con.
That's pretty much the highlight of what's on T-Formers this week. It's the New York Comic Con coverage.
Yeah.
We also have an article up, if I, you know, stepping on your toes, sorry, but I'll just throw this out there because it's interesting. The Japanese Dino Cassette reissue,
people got their
pre-orders canceled. So there's an article up about that. What we've learned since then is several people, including Sean. Matt, got their cancellations. But so a few people, including Sean, followed up further than that and have been told that part of the inventory of those reissues was damaged when it arrived at the warehouse and was unsellable, and that's why the pre-orders are being canceled in some cases.
I wonder if it's sellable to Ollie's.
I was pretty outspokenly, you know, miffed about that. But
oh, I would have been too.
Yeah, that's a perfectly acceptable, you know, excuse. Like, I'll get over it. So
yeah,
I would have been like, well, they're mostly on cards, so
I mean,
the cards are just badly damaged. Just give me a discount. Sell me the damaged one.
Yeah, tell them, hey, you know, they came in damaged. Do you still want it for a slight discount?
Include a polite letter.
If you look at all the stuff you bought over the years, you probably have a bunch of Kenner baggies left over. You could just put these things in.
Yeah, it's true. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I mean, we'll probably never know, like, the scope or, you know, any cause behind what happened, but at least there's more of an explanation than just, like, oops, oversold.
Yeah.
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 Let's see here. Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
So, I forgot, if you want to reach out to us for any reason at all, but if you want to leave us a note, leave us a message for the 20th anniversary. There's also our hotline, 931-99-GOBOT. You can also send a text to that. That's 931-994-6268. It accepts text messages as well as voicemail. You can leave us a message. You can find this episode at tfradio.net/642 to find all the links, which is, you know, an easy way to find out what we were talking about on the show. Works for any episode. Next week will be tfradio.net/643. Spoilers. You can follow us on Twitter at tfradio. See all the wonderful photos that Diecast took today. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/tfradio. You can get updates at TF Podcast. Rob Springer, not here. He's at zonebase.org and also Robo Rob Springer on Twitter. John DeLuna's not here. He's at that John D everywhere. I'm on Twitter at B Kilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
You can follow me personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. I have a bunch of stuff up for sale right now, so come and buy it. Otherwise, for toys and photography and stuff like that, it's mostly on the Play With Photography channel. So at Play With Photos on Twitter or Instagram.com/PlayWithPhotography. That's all in service of PlayWithPhotography.com, where I have galleries and guides and articles and all sorts of stuff like that. Been a little quiet on that front since it's actually been extraordinarily hot for the last month, and the studio lights quickly overpower the effect of the air conditioning, but hopefully that will be on a downward trend now, and I'll be able to kind of get back into it. If you'd like to support the work I do when I actually start doing it again, when I, you know, don't boil myself in the process, I have a Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos. For as little as $2 a month, you can throw some support my way, or you can join up at the $5 level, get your name on new galleries as they go up, and when new galleries go up, you'll get up to a week of exclusive access to them.
Cool. Diecast.
You can follow me on Diecast2 on Twitter and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and you can see all my reviews on tfradio.net/reviews or on youtube.com/RFCReviews.
Cool. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Rob.
I'm on Twitter at Figure Viewers and Flailthroughs. Flailthroughs is also the name of my YouTube channel, where we are covering Gundam Battle Operation 2, which was just released by surprise in the U.S. this last weekend.
Oh,
kind of called that one, but yeah, Bandai and Namco released it on Tuesday with little to no fanfare, but it is up now on PSN if you want to give it a shot. If you like what I'm doing with the game on YouTube, you can throw me a couple of bucks at patreon.com/flailthroughs to request specific mobile suits and color schemes. And of course, when I do video work for T-Formers, or Chris does, you can find that on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Cool. Okay. I guess that's it. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?